Come on, how many shoppers we have here today? Come on, ladies. Every hand should be up. No? Okay. If you're like me, I don't go to the mall. I go once, I know what I'm going to get, and I'm out the door. Hey, man, my daughter Selena is not here today, so I'm going to kind of, don't tell her. Dave, Ben, don't tell her. I'm going to throw her under the bus a little bit. How about that? She's my daughter, so I can do that. Amen. Last weekend, she said, Dad, let's go to the mall. Okay, let's go to the mall. But what? She left out some vital information. I mean, she invited my wife, which you tell Angie, let's go. You don't even have to finish your sentence. Let's go. Let's go. I'll drive. Because most of the time, like, I don't want to drive. I drive. I got my license. Okay. So I had to take care of some ministry stuff, so they're waiting for me. I'm honestly trying to get out of it. You know, I was doing a hospital visit, and Angie's giving me the eye, like, and I'm like, you know, doing my thing. You know, we went there to take care of Jesus' business, amen. But I told her maybe 30 minutes, but when we got there, the situation was a little more delicate, so I didn't feel led just to do a doctor visit. Hey, how you doing? You feeling all right? Okay, I'll see you later. Thank you. No, I stood there, and Angie just like, and I could, she has her phone in her purse, and that baby was blowing up. And I'm like, don't answer it. So finally, we get out. We're on our way home. Now, I'm down in Del Rey. We live out in Lake Worth. We want to go, well, they want to go to the Wellington Mall. 5 o'clock, 6:30 in the evening, early evening. So I'm like, babe, I don't have to go, right? She said, yeah. I go, why? I don't want to go. The kids are sitting waiting on us. And sure enough, well, my auntie calls them kids. I say my adults. You know, we pull up to the front of the house, and sure enough, they're sitting in their car, everything going. I'm like, I need to go inside and go get something. Like, come on, Dad, really? So we go all the way to the mall, traffic. And then they failed to tell me that Selena, being the great daughter that I have, she's going to go help a co-worker go purchase a dress for a Christmas party. I went into women's stores in the mall I didn't even know existed. Me and Macho were like, oh, what? And then I have to take them to the mall, and then I have to feed them. At least if you're going to set me up, come on, I'm a cheap date. Chick-fil-A, let's do this. A 12-piece and a side salad, I'm good to go. Then we get to the food court. Well, this one wants that one. This one wants that. I said, Angie, you got your debit card. Give that one your debit card, and I guess I'll stay with my debit card, and I'll go do what I got to do. To make a long story short, we got kind of kicked out of the mall. The PA system. The mall is now closing. Thank you, shoppers. We'll be opening tomorrow. And to tell you that a dress was purchased, no, it wasn't purchased. So that's enough for me, enough for my mall experience. I do one shopping. I know what I'm going to get. I take care of my beautiful wife, and she takes care of the rest. Amen? Glory to God. How many are ready to receive the word? So here we are. The holiday season is here. It's upon us. Glory to God. Everybody got all their shopping done? No? I heard something on the radio this morning on the way to church. The guy said, you're only going to see men at the mall at Christmas Eve because all the ladies are done. And me and Macho are driving. We're like, yeah, I probably got to pick up one more item. I'll be part of that statistic. Yeah, that'll be me because that's the way it is. Amen? Now, I want you to think about something. We're going to be talking about re-gifting. How many re-gifters we have here today? Be honest. I mean, we're in church. Come on now. I'll do the altar call right now. All right? Jesus came, he died, and he rose. But Come on, how many re-gifters we have in this? Come on, we have been given that gift that we don't really appreciate, that we're not really fond about it. And the first thing when we open up that gift, we're like, I don't need this, but I know who I can give this to. Amen? Come on. Is that only me? I know I'm not the only cheap person in here. Come on now. Amen? So we're going to be talking about re-gifting today, but we're not going to be talking about any material gifts. Amen? We're going to be talking about the gift of Jesus. Amen? I pulled up. I want to have a little fun this morning. Glory to God. For those that are re-gifters, I'm not going to raise. I don't know. I'll think about that in between services. I probably did. I just can't think of an item that I've given away. But I pulled up a couple of tips. I want to help you guys this morning. Amen. The re-gifters, raise your hand again. Where we at? Okay, a couple of more. So no one in the back never gave any. Josh. All right, now. I don't know. It's hard to believe. Okay, here we go. A couple of tips. The gift should make some sense. Come on, let's be realistic. And in a few words, while re-gifting a great way to save money and declutter, get that thing out the closet that's been sitting there for a long time, don't re-gift something for the sake of just re-gifting it. In other words, if your brother, here we go, is allergic to grass, and that's the growing grass, not the grass that we smoke, and lives in a 6-story apartment building, he has no interest if you're giving him any garden tools. So think about it. What can I do with this shovel? My brother lives in a penthouse. He might use it. Come on. Not so much. Amen? Number two, I'm only going to go over a couple of them. Take off the name tag. That will help. That would definitely help. Hey, Joe, when you decide to re-gift your Elf DVD to Holly, make sure you take the old name tag off the gift. Imagine the fun of your Christmas party when Holly opens up the gift bag that says, "To Joe from Grandma." You will probably be the talk of that party. And if no one knew you before, they will definitely know you. And into the next Christmas party, you'll probably be the talk of the company job. You know, hey, remember what Joe did? Oh, that wasn't that funny. Amen? I got like this one. Avoid re-gifting with the same circle of friends. Oh, yeah. That's a big one. And then in parentheses, I was trying to find this episode. I couldn't find it. It says, AKA the Seinfeld scenario. I guess the Seinfeld show. Between their inner circle, somebody gave something to somebody and they got together. Anybody seen that one? Who was it? Do you remember who gave to? So don't do that. I mean, if it happens, you got some explaining to do. Amen. And one more. You guys ready for one more? All right. Rewrap the gift. Okay? You already saved money. You know, even though most of us, I'm not looking at no one, we go to the dollar store and we buy the dollar bag and the dollar gift. That's, come on. I know a lot of us, they work, right? Because they don't look at the gift. They don't look at the, oh, they don't go, when you give them a gift, oh, I can see you took your time get wrapping it. Wow, I don't want to open this. No. So we need to rewrap it. The box, the gift paper, the packaging. Why? Because you don't know what's deep inside that box. They could have snuck you a little note. I know Angie loves to do this with the kids. When they were younger, she would get a big box, stuff it, and there was a little tiny thing in the bottom. I'm like, babe, why do you do all that? Just to see their excitement. Okay. So you know, don't do that. Make sure you rewrap it. Check it. Make sure there's not a little side note attached to the bottom, and here we go, and then you give it to Holly, but the gift would belong to Joe. So that's a little pointers there. I mean, just wanted to have fun. Glory to God. So now that I have you guys thinking about your gifts or your Christmas list that's not completed, I want to talk about the gift of Jesus. Thank you. You read my notes? Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. And before I proceed, let's make sure we pray for our pastors. If you're wondering why our pastors are not here, for most those that might not know, our brother in Christ, Bud Passion, went to be with the Lord. He's been a member of this church for 20-plus years, even before I came here. But they're originally from Chicago, businesses, everything's out there. They were snowboards that would come down here. So Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott are traveling to Chicago. It's 80 degrees here today. I sent Pastor Peggy a picture of the weather last night for Chicago. It said it was going to be minus 30 on Monday. And all she said was, oh, geez. I said, think about it. So, you know, pray for them as they travel, safe travels this whole week. The game plan, which we believe they will be back for the weekend services. So just want to let you know that's where they're at. Amen? Who's going to pray for them? All right. Awesome. Luke chapter 2, I'm just going to go over a couple of verses. We're going to start in verse number 8. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the field. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it might be different from what you have. So that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Verse number 10, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that you will bring great joy to all, that it will bring great joy to all the people. Verse number 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, laying in a manger. So suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and pray and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Amen. During the holiday season, we all kind of get into that. The church has been decorated everywhere you go. But today I want to kind of break it down, you know, because many times, like I said earlier, we take gifts for granted. Amen. I'll raise my hand. And like I said earlier, December 25th should be an everyday occurrence in our lives. You know, as believers, we need to get away from that mentality that, oh, Thanksgiving is November. No, every day of our lives is a day of Thanksgiving. Every day of our lives is December 25th. Amen. Come on now. All right, that's the way it should be. But many times we get conformed to this world. I've been part of that. Amen. We get comfortable, and then during the year, not that we're doing anything wrong, but we just don't appreciate that gift like we should. Amen. I like to think about a 5-year-old. I have a grandson. Oh, he's a handsome boy. Amen. Hey, every time I think of him, I pray for him, I cry because he is a miracle from God. Amen. And I know birthday parties, you know, what does a 5-year-old want? They don't care for Air Jordans and Yankee jerseys. You know, come on now. They want toys. Amen. And just to see that excitement. And then when they open up something that is not a toy, my grandson looks over and said, Papa, really? You got more? That's all we got. And then I say, your grandma picked that. Amen? You like that, huh? Hey, I've been married almost 30 years. I know what I'm doing. Glory to God. But think about that. We just read in Luke chapter 2, we have been given, and one of the translations says, I have great news. Amen? There's nothing better that's coming. It reminds me of Pastor Peggy when she talks about her dogs when she gives them treats. And they take the treat and they go to the room and they come back and sit there staring at her. And she tells them, that's all we got, buddy. Don't tell her. I didn't try to sound like I just said it. Amen? But that's what happens with us many times. Amen? Since we're talking, now you got me distracted, guys. Come on. We love you, Pastor Peggy. You know that. Nobody's FaceTiming me. No Facebooking live, right? No? Good. All right. And not yet. Come on now. Nope. I didn't sign a disclaimer, so you cannot record me. In the state of Florida, you got to let somebody know they're being recorded. Amen? I'll have my attorney contact you. Amen? So we're talking about regifting. Let's go back to regifting. As believers, I'm going to tell you today, it is your job to regift the gift of Jesus. Amen? We have no other choice. We do. We can either do it or don't do it. Amen? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew. Jesus came and told his disciples. How many disciples we have here today? Amen? I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen? That's regifting right there. I've given you the gift. I've taught you the ways. You have lived with me. Now go out and spread the gospel. Amen? I'm not talking about a gift in a box. We're talking about Jesus. So we can see right there that each and every one of us, God has given us that commission. Go out there and do what you have to do. Amen? So we can throw that out. Oh, regifting is not. Yes. If you're not going to take any other notes today, I want you to take that note down. Pastor Angel said that, yes, regifting is allowed. And then put a little in parentheses, the gift of Jesus. I don't want nobody emailing me. Well, you know, no. Amen? So what happens then? I'm going to go into a couple of things. So why then, as believers, some of us don't regift? Come on. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not. Amen? So we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We've seen what Jesus has done in our life, is doing in our life, and it's going to continue. Amen? Because Psalms 32:8 says, I will lead you on the best pathway for your life. So we know it's good news. So what happens sometimes? Number one. Why we don't give re-gift sometimes. Because of fear, or we are afraid of what others might think about us. I'm at the point in my life, I don't care. What's more important to me is that you're going to heaven with me. Amen? We're not being recorded, right? Yes? Okay. Anyway, I want to share this because, like I shared earlier, I've been there's a member of the of our church here. Their daughter passed away on Friday. I've been kind of ministering to them and being kind of hooked up with them in faith. Amen. And to be honest with you, when I got the news, you know, I'm going to be honest. You want me to be honest with you this morning? Amen. I was upset. Not that I was lacking, that we weren't lacking faith or that, but come on now, as a believer, we want to see miracles. Amen. The word of God tells us that we shall lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Amen. So I had a moment. I had a moment with God. Hey, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 17 tells me, come boldly to the throne of grace. So I had a moment. I said, Lord, what's going on? I trust in you. I've seen miracles happen. You rose my grandson from his deathbed. What's the deal? And to tell you that I saw a burning bush, it didn't happen. But I still felt some peace. And thank God for our pastor that's a woman of God. And we've been talking and talking, and we were talking about the situation, and she told me, it doesn't matter that you did not see the miracle. What matters is that you led them to the Lord and they're in paradise. And I tell you right there, that I said, oh man, let me beat, you know, because I was beating myself up. I was standing for this family. But now I rejoice with them. Because a week before that, the young lady called me to the hospital. She said, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. I am believing for a miracle, but I want to be sure that whatever happens to me, I am going to heaven. And right at that moment, I grabbed her hand. We said the prayer of salvation. And 10 days later, she's in the with the glory of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we're talking about fear, it don't care. There could have been a moment in that hospital bed that I probably would have said no, because there was nurses around us, everything was going on around us. And I said, no, let's pray. So if fear is holding you back from sharing the gospel, if fear or about what people think about you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So yes, we have the ability to share Jesus. The enemy wants to keep our trap shut. Amen? And many times it's not even the enemy. Many times we keep our own trap shut. And then we speak when we shouldn't be speaking. And then when we need to speak, we don't speak. Oh, glory. I'm preaching real good right now. Glory to God. Number two, why many times we don't share the gospel, or we're talking about re-gifting or re-gift the gift of God. Because many times we think that we need a title or a position in the church before we share Jesus. We just read the Great Commission. Nowhere it said, and pastors and worship leaders and children church workers, blah, blah. No. It says, all go, disciples. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you follow Jesus, that makes you a disciple. I'm not being too hard, am I? Glory to God. I'm going to preach the truth. Amen. But I got an answer for you. You want a title? I'll give you a title. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, Paul reminds us that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And what does an ambassador do? They go out and represent someone or represent something. So I just gave you guys a title. So you can scratch that excuse from your list. Because as believers of Christ, it's our commission to be an ambassador. And that's why I'm going to add a little note to that. That's why we have to be careful how we carry ourselves. It breaks my heart when someone tells me, I accepted Jesus. Well, that's great and dandy. And they've been going on 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And I can say this because I know them personally, and I haven't seen a change. They talk like everyone else. They do everything like everyone else. And then they have the nerve to say, this Jesus stuff doesn't work. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But our God is a jealous God, and we cannot just serve him on Sundays and then the rest of the week, all right, what the world has for me. Thank you, Lord. It don't work that way. Either you in all the way or you're out. The Bible reminds us you can't serve two gods. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other one. And then one day the one you hate, you might love him, and then the one you love, you might hate. My brother, my sister, I love you. That's unstable in every way. If you don't believe me, I'll be here after service. I'll give you my phone number. Matter of fact, the church offices will be closed next week. When you call, you got me. So I'll take the call. It don't work. It's time that as believers, we get serious about the things of God and we start re-gifting the gift of God, because there's a world out there that is hurting. And let's be realistic. And I'm not speaking that this is going on, but it is going on. The world is crazy out there. It's a crazy world of things that are going on. I saw something the other day that I don't remember the quote, but since the Sandy Hook, the shootout in that elementary school 4 years ago, there's been over 200 and something shootouts in schools. Come on, man. Let's give the gift of Jesus. And number three, man, I've been on this too long. And number three, why many times we don't feel that we're adequate to share the good news? Because we do not know enough of the Bible. You don't need to know enough of the Bible. It's a good thing. But many times when you start talking to people and you start throwing that Bible at them, they shut down. Oh, here comes this fanatic. Uh-oh. Yes? And they're looking at you, but you know they ain't listening to you. Many times you just got to tell them your story. Each and every one in here has a story. Come on. Amen? Each and every one of us have a story. And number four, I want to get it all in. Well, if not, then you stay for second service. There's plenty of coffee. Make sure the coffee's fresh. Number four. I'm going somewhere. Number four. Many times why we don't share or re-give is because we are so selfish. We are selfish nature that we do not want to share our gift with anyone else. It's all about me. Oh, look what Jesus did for me. That's all great and dandy, but that person that's next to you might need to know what Jesus did for you. So because they need a miracle in their life, and if you don't speak the word or you don't share the gospel with them, they might never receive that miracle that they need. Glory to God. So we need to stop being selfish. It's not going to lead you nowhere. It's not all about me, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. It don't work that way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about people. What can I do for you today? Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, brother. I'll pat myself on that. Thank you. Matthew 20:28 reads, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." When we think of the word ransom, we think about money that's given away and someone is released. Jesus gave his life for us. And when you receive the gift of Jesus, your ransom has been paid. You're no longer in darkness. But now you're in light. It don't get better than that. All we have to do is accept and believe. So I covered a few reasons why we don't share or re-gift. I still have everyone with us. We're good. I ain't hurt no feelings. If I did, I love you. But that's what the word teaches. Amen. Amen. Thank God that we come to a full gospel church. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm going to give you, okay, Pastor, that's all good. You told me why. Now you kind of got me upset because I don't share the gospel. Well, I'm going to help you now. Now, if you feel that I stepped on your toes, I love you. Tough love is good. It builds. I tell my kids, tough love is good, right, Macho? It builds character. There you go. Amen. That's my son up there. Glory to God. So now that I've ruffled your feathers a little bit, and oh, I can't wait till Pastor Peggy come back next Sunday. I'm gonna help you now. I'm gonna help you now to share the free gift of the gospel. Amen. How many need some help this morning? Come on, I need some help. I need to be reminded, because many times, because there's nothing going too crazy in our lives, we're like, I'm good. But the people around us are hurting, they're crying, they're screaming at us, and we're just like that racehorse, I'm going to get to that finish line, and the people around us are hurting, are crying out our names, and we don't even hear them. Glory to God. I thought it's good. Come on, people. So I'm going to give you a couple of ways that's going to help you re-gift this gift. Number one, we're almost done, guys. Tell them, like I said earlier, tell them your story of what Jesus has done for you. People like to hear good stories. Not only a good story, but a happy ending. Amen. When I tell people, man, I was on my way to hell. I had a first-class ticket. Oh, yes, I was good at what I was doing. But thank God, you know. And if I can't get him that way, I say, look at my grandson. Look at this handsome thing right here. Look at that. Ooh, man. Looks just like his papa. Amen. I said, really? What? I said, this kid right here, the doctors gave him a 1% chance to live. And he's going to be 6 years old in March. And papa prays over him that he's going to preach the gospel. People are like, really? Tell me about it. How did that happen? I got them. Amen. People are looking for a happy ending. People are hurting. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness and into his miraculous light. That's good news right there. All of us in here were in darkness. That's a happy ending. Man, that's good. When I think of my goodness, only I would tell Angie, we've come too far to walk away from Jesus now. Oh, we've seen too much. We've seen too much. Number two, let your actions or the way you carry yourself be a representation of what Jesus is like. People will know that there's something different about you. They would know. They should know. What do I mean by that? When we represent Jesus, we got to love on people. Oh, that's a tough one. Have compassion. And help meet the needs of the people. That's what it's all about. Amen. People should see something different about you. I know when I rededicated my life 20 plus years ago, I didn't know at that time my next door neighbor was a believer. I knew they were in church. I can just kind of tell, you know. And I rededicated my life, got back right with God. And I decided to make a change. If you know me very well, I'm not ashamed to say this, and I'm not glorifying it. I'm glorifying God. My house was like the social club. Oh, let's go to the Centrons this weekend. They got it going on. Let's go. And I think back now, I say, I thank God for my wife that she put up with my nonsense. Amen? Because Monday morning, I'm not ashamed to say this, boxes and boxes and boxes of anything that contained alcohol. Booyah! I know that recycle guy hated me on Monday mornings. Hey, job security, right? He need to pick it up. And then I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Never spoke to my next door neighbor in regards to it. One day I'm out there cutting my grass. He says, "Hey, Angel, how you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing great. What's going on?" He said, "Man, something happened, right?" I'm like, "What? What's going on?" "I'm sorry." I'm thinking he's talking about the grass. "I'm sorry I haven't kept up with it. You know, okay. I got you, brother." He said, "What happened?" I said, "What's going on?" His name is Joe. I said, "What's going on, Joe?" He said, "I know something happened in that household." Like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Dude, what happened to all your company? Where's all your friends?" I said, "Oh, I accepted Jesus." He said, "I knew it. I knew something happened because the Corona bottles were gone." And then he tells me, "Brother, I've been praying for you." Amen. Glory to God. That's why the way we people know there should be a change. I'm going to keep going because you can't take any more of that. Amen. And number three, I need to wrap it up. Invite them to church. If you're too afraid to preach the gospel or to tell them your story, here we are. Any one of us in the front row, anybody here can share the gospel. Amen. Invite them to church. I'll raise my hand. I am here because I was invited to church. Many of you are here because you were invited to church. And the person that invited me was not a preacher, was not a pastor, did not have the title in the church. He was a co-worker of mine. We worked 12 to 8, and every 4:40 in the morning was our break. And he would tell me, "Angel, join me at church." And it came to a point that I couldn't tell him no anymore because I had ran out of excuses. And I told him, "Eddie, I'll be there on Sunday, and the rest is history." A simple invite. A simple invite. We'll do the rest. Get him in here. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And the most satisfying thing is when you see their life change, not to embarrass nobody, but these guys right here, I remember the first time they walked in. They ran into Believer's Victory Church at a 4th of July gathering. And the rest is history. Even though they're Patriots fans, we still got to love them. Glory to God. Amen. And to finish it up, I am so thankful that someone was bold enough to invite me to church. My buddy Eddie didn't judge me. He didn't tell me, "Oh, you're a drunk. I hear the stories that are going on in your house. Get your life right." Or he would tell me, "Hey, brother, I want to see you at church one day." That's all it took. So come on. I think all of us in here can do that. There's someone in our inner circle, someone that we know, that if we tell them, "Hey, man, join me to church." And if you want to go even deeper, say, "Hey, I'll take you to lunch afterwards." Or you might win a gift card and you can take me to lunch. Because I invited you. Amen. And I want to close with this. So there's no reason why we cannot re-gift. I just went over some of the excuses that we all have had. There's many more. But I'm not here to complicate our lives. It can be complicated as it is. I want to make it simplify. Invite someone to church. Act differently. And I want you to think about this. With everything that's going on, we're getting ready for the holiday. I got 3 gifts and this and that. I got to do this. I got 3 Christmas parties. That's all fine and dandy. But this is what, as a believer, which is all about. Our deepest need in the holiday season is to surrender our whole life to Jesus. And to re-gift the gift of Jesus to all those around us. That's what it's all about. Receiving gifts? Yes. I love gifts. I love gifts. Amen. And my birthday's next month on the 29th. I love gifts. But it doesn't matter If we do not share the most important gift that we have ever received, and that is Jesus. I just shared that testimony, what happened to me this week. And every time I think about that young lady, I'm like, oh, man, she's in glory, and I have something to do with that. Amen? So I encourage you today, just ask the Holy Ghost to bring someone along your path. We all have a friend, a coworker, a family member, that crazy uncle, that crazy aunt. I almost said mother-in-law. Woo! She's here. She comes every week. Amen? But we all have that someone that needs to hear it. Amen? Yes, there's great stuff going on, preachers, all that stuff going on. But sometimes they're not going to reach. Many times they don't reach our inner circle. Amen? So I encourage you. Like I said earlier, yes, I give you all permission to re-gift the gift of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father, we thank you because your love never fails. We thank you and we acknowledge that you have given us the greatest gift ever. And that is your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as believers, we never take that gift for granted. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you give each and every one of us boldness to take that gift and just share it with someone that needs to hear it. It's not about us. It's not about, oh, look what God did for me. No, it's about you, Jesus. And right now, someone in here might be thinking, that's all great and dandy, but I can't give away that gift because I've never accepted that gift. Well, this part of the service is for you. With everybody with their eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you need to accept that gift of Jesus, or if you have accepted that gift at one time and you want to come back to Jesus, just raise your hand. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for this great holiday season, Father. Father, we thank you for the word that was spoken today, Father. And I pray for everyone in this place today that we are not just hearers of the word, but that we are doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We can have the ushers come down. You guys receive something today? Make sure you come back next week. I hope I didn't hurt nobody. But come on. Good news. Jesus. Amen. How many are ready to give? Glory to God.